taking a look at the new iPhone 5 and other Apple products and developments, and talk about your Apple computers and other your phone and all the other kinds of things, you know, your iPad. There are so many different things that Apple's putting out these days. Joe Rhodes works with them all the time. He is an independent computer support specialist. He works out of Madison. Great to have him back. Certainly, if you want to join in, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. And, Joe, great to see you again.
It's great to be here, Larry.
I saw yesterday a lot of friends were sitting there looking at their phones. And I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, we're doing downloads.
Yep. Apple introduced the new version of the software that runs their iPads, their iPhones, etc., called iOS. It's now iOS version 6. And, you can. It used to be where you had to plug your devices into a computer to be able to do this. Well, now you can do it right from the device itself if you had iOS 5. That was the big feature of iOS 5 is now you can do over-the-air updates. So, yeah, I did this last night. I downloaded it from Apple and installed it. Some cool new things that came along with it. It subjectively, I've had it for less than 24 hours, but it feels faster on my iPhone 4S. Everything just seems a little bit more liquid. It's got some other neat features, one of which I'm kind of excited about. It has a do not disturb function. So for any of you that use your iPhone as an alarm clock, and then you plug it in next to your bed and charge it, but then somebody texts you at 11:30 at night when you're sound asleep, if you put it on do not disturb, it will not make any noise unless you make exceptions. So it'll make a noise for your alarm, obviously. If you can turn it on so that if somebody calls twice within 3 minutes, that second time it will ring. So theoretically, that's an emergency.
Yeah.
You can add people to an exception list. So if my mom calls me, even if my phone's on do not disturb, it will ring. but for those just random emails that come in or texts or whatnot, now I don't have to listen to my phone go bing next to my bed. A lot of us are using our phones as alarm clocks these days, so that's kind of cool. One feature that came out that is a big headline feature that's causing some controversy, Apple has a whole new version of Maps. They used to rely on Google for their maps, and the Maps application, in all fairness, on iOS devices was very slow and very imprecise and just kind of not very fun to use. And it used a lot of data, too. So Apple has redone the Maps application from the ground up. It's really neat. It's really fast. It has a lot of neat features. So the interface is great. The part that's causing some problems, though, is they've also gone with a whole new data set. They're no longer using Google's maps on the back end.
Okay.
They're starting from scratch. So in many cases, I'm reading reports where over in Europe, they have airports in the middle of big towns that don't have airports. There's all kinds of mapping inconsistencies that are coming up. People, you know, towns that are named wrong, roads that aren't there yet. And basically, it's because Google has been doing maps for, 10 plus years?
Yeah, a long time.
They've spent a lot of time making those maps good. Apple is just, you know, they bought a couple of companies that had some mapping databases there, but they're not quite as sophisticated yet. So some people are having trouble with the actual data, even though the way it presents it to you is much better. But it's fun. It's neat stuff.
What about the 5?
The iPhone 5. Here's another one of these classic Apple classic examples of Apple engineering. It is a larger screen, which a lot of people expected. But it is not necessarily wider. It's taller. Apple wanted to make sure you could still run it, holding it in one hand and operating it with your thumb. So I kind of like that idea. Even though it's bigger, it is faster. The processor's about twice as fast. Much faster network. It's on what's called the LTE or 4G network, which is way faster than the existing networks. It has the same or better battery life. And then here's the kicker. Somehow, this thing is 20% lighter, and it's 18% thinner.
Huh.
I don't know how they did that, but they did it. That's kind of neat.
Joe Rhodes, our guest, independent computer support specialist based in Madison, talking with him about Apple products today. You may have a question or comment about one of yours. Are you a Mac fan? What products do you use? Do you have an iPhone? I have the 4S and am very happy with it. I don't know if I'm going to go to the 5 or not. I'll have to think about it. Probably eventually. Anyway, if you have a question or comment, join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And we'd certainly love to hear from you. So that iPhone 5, the improvements on...
It improved on pretty much everything. Now, one of the things that came along when they made it so much thinner, one of the things that Apple had to do to make that happen is they had to give up this 30-pin dock connector that's been on every iPod and iPhone and iPad since time immemorial. This is causing a little bit of concern because now it's a smaller, thinner interface. Well, we have all these devices that have these 30-pin dock connectors. Yes. We have cables everywhere. We've got home Wi-Fi systems that you plug in your iPod to. Now, Apple does sell a $30 adapter that you plug into the tiny little port on the new iPhone, and then you can plug in your 30-pin devices to it. But that's making a lot of people kind of scratch their head and go, that's unfortunate because there's so many devices that use that 30-pin connector.
Right. Yeah. So that's definitely kind of a downside.
Well, it's a transition, but you know, Apple is one of these companies. They're very happy to abandon yesterday's technology if tomorrow's technology offers enough promise. And you know, when you start talking about an iPhone, which isn't that thick to begin with, getting 18% thinner. I haven't held one yet. I can't wait to, because I'm trying to imagine, how do you make this phone lighter and thinner? I'm not sure, but they did it. So yeah, there are some things you have to give up when you do that, and Apple is a company that's quite willing to do that, sometimes too much so for some people's comfort.
Melissa in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. I am a newbie to a lot of Apple stuff. I'm holding my first iPhone, the 4S.
Excellent.
So I've had it for about a year, and I'm learning a lot of things. I have two related questions.
Go ahead.
One, you just talked about the software update.
Yes.
You recommend for, among other things, data purposes, I do that with a Wi-Fi only, or does it matter?
Yes, and I'm not sure about this, but I think it may only update while you're on Wi-Fi. Update is about, I'm going from memory here, and I did this late last night. It was about 300 megabytes or 400 megabytes. So, I mean, if you don't have to pull that over cellular and you have a Wi-Fi network somewhere, I mean, they're pretty ubiquitous. I would definitely wait till you're on a Wi-Fi network to do that.
Okay.
Just because why spend the money, especially if you're on a limited data plan?
Okay. And, I mean, I do have update or alert set up when I'm at, like, 50, 75% of my data plan, which helps. Is there any other tips that you can give me that would help me control my data usage? Because, I know I do, like, Facebook and stuff like that.
Sure.
The Maps thing, I had no idea that took so much data.
Oh, the Google Maps application used an enormous amount of data, and I really discovered this when I was traveling in Canada. I'm paying for data through the nose, even with an international data plan, and
yes,
all of a sudden, I look at my bill, I'm like, holy cows. Some other things you can take a look at is in your mail settings, take a look at how often your phone is set to retrieve email. So if you're a compulsive emailer and you're not using one of Apple's official me.com accounts, if you're using, say, a Gmail account or something like that, if it's set to check every 5 minutes, then every 5 minutes your phone is busy doing something. And that will use up a little bit of data depending upon how much email you have. It'll also use up your battery because every 5 minutes it needs to connect to the network and do something. So I have mine set to, I think, 15 or 30 minutes. So every 30 minutes or so, it'll check in and see if I've got new email and go from there. Other than that, it's really the big consumers are the applications that you use. So if you're on Facebook or Twitter or doing things like that a lot, those are, especially when you get, your friends are posting lots of pictures on Facebook and you click on that video, and that's really where the data starts getting used. So
there you
go.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Melissa.
You know, I should point out one other thing about those text messages that, at least with AT&T, where they send you notices about where you are in your data, they're not always up to date. I was literally sitting at home one day. I was 3 days from the end of my monthly cycle. And all of a sudden, I got a text that said I was within 60% of my data usage, and then 80. And they came right in a row. And then all of a sudden, I was at 90% of my data usage. And I'm like, I haven't done anything. I've been sitting here for the last hour. So I called them and they said, oh, yeah, sometimes those can be a little delayed. So don't bank on those too much.
Jason in Kenosha, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, Jason.
Jason, are you there? Maybe we lost Jason.
Uh-oh.
Well, Jason, I know from looking here at the screen, he was wondering about 4S versus the 5. You know, if you can pick up a 4S now probably cheaper.
Really inexpensively, yeah. Honestly, and this is just my own personal opinion, but, you know, everyone has something that works better for them. But Apple pushes out a new phone, and then what they do is when they push out the next phone, like the iPhone 6 comes out, who knows, next year, then the iPhone 5 becomes the middle of the pack, and then the year after that it becomes the low end of the pack. The price difference between the two is not that big a deal. It's usually about $100 or so, depending upon how much storage you need. It's like $100, $150 difference. Why not go, if you're the type of person who's going to own this phone for 2 years or more, why not start right at the highest technology level you can?
Yeah.
And then enjoy it for 2 years. So That's kind of what I do. I had a 3GS. I moved right to the 4S. I'm going to hold on to my phone until I really, you know, need to buy another one, because my phone is great, because when I bought it, it was the best one I could get a hold of right then. I bought the top model. So, but on the other hand, the thing to think about now is if you have a ton of accessories that use that 30-pin dock connector and you don't feel like carrying around a little $30 adapter thingy to make them all work, if that's the case, if you've got a lot invested in this ecosystem, then maybe look at a 4S. But boy, that 5S is that bigger screen. I see a lot of applications and things really making use of that.
Okay, so you would go with the new.
I would, just because in my life, an extra $100 for a phone is not that big a deal. What I would not do, for example, I'm not getting the 5 because I'm in the middle of my contract. So if I were to get a 5, I have to pay a ton of money because it's not subsidized. I'm not going to do that. It's not worth it. If I'm due for a new one and I get it for the subsidized price, like I said, I think it's a $100 difference.
Yeah, then a thumbs up.
Absolutely.
Joe Rhodes, our guest today, independent computer support specialist. He's based in Madison. He will be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Apple products seem to be everywhere, don't they? You might have an Apple desktop or a computer or a fun gadget like an iPhone or an iPad. Apple seems to have a constant stream of new software and hardware and operating systems coming out. And certainly I know it can be hard to keep up, know what's right for you. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. My guest today, independent computer support specialist Joe Rhodes, is here to tell you how to get the most from your Apple products and picking the models that fit your needs. And of course, Joe's happy to answer your questions as well. If you're having problems with your Mac, or maybe you're thinking of buying the new iPhone 5, maybe you have another question about Mac products, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page, post there at The Larry Mueller Show. We'll be right back with our guest after the news. Well, they say the two things you can count on are death and taxes, but I think a third thing you can count on is that Apple's going to be coming out with some tempting new products pretty regularly. Lucky to have Joe Rhodes with us to guide us through the Mac universe. Joe's an independent computer support specialist. Joe, always great to have you with us.
Always fun to be here. I like the WPR audience.
It's great. They always have great questions, and lots of them. Every one of our lines is filled, so why don't we just go to the phones and see what's on people's minds?
Sounds good.
David in Harvard, Illinois. We'll turn to you. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Great.
Good. My question, I'm an Android user now, but I've looked at all the Apple products, and it's almost as if, you know, I know what's going on. But anyways, the question is, what with the new iPhone 5, is it going to run any more efficiently as far as data usage? Does that even matter? And is Apple ever going to be on par with Android as far as cost effectiveness for the consumer? Because here I'm paying all this money, you know, and if I get Apple, it's like, it almost seems like $150 or something, you know, every single time for just, you know, one line.
Well, as far as data efficiency goes, I don't see that the iPhone 5 is going to be any different than the previous iPhones. As the articles I've read, and I'm not a network tester, so I can't speak to this myself, but the articles I've read say that as far as raw data usage, iPhones, Androids tend to be very similar. The real king of network efficiency is BlackBerry. They have a system that is just incredibly network-friendly, which is why they were so popular so early when network bandwidth was very scarce and very expensive. Apple's general theory seems to be that, you know, hey, networks are always getting faster. Everything's getting bigger, better, faster. Let's not concern ourselves so much with the pipe as much as what's coming through the pipe. So let's make sure the user interface is great, that things are as easy to use as possible, and we'll let the network technology catch up with it if it's not there yet. And then sometimes, yeah, you run into situations where you're like, wow, I got a bigger data bill than I expected. As far as cost effectiveness goes, you know, Apple always has had a bit of a premium on their products because of their design and their aesthetics and what they put into it. You know, Apple is a company that actually hires artists to make the packaging pretty so that when you open the box, it looks good. You know, you do pay for that. There's no getting around it. You pay for that as the consumer. You pay for a lot of the little touches that Apple puts into their hardware. Now, for some people, that isn't worth the investment. They don't mind if the corner of their phone isn't, you know, 0.2 millimeters off from the rest of the phone. That's not a big deal to them. Other people, that's a big deal. And one of the things I've learned, especially in my line of work where I support a lot of artists, I'm a technology guy. I'm an engineer, and I want things to be functional. And then I work with artists, and they want them to be pretty. And I've really learned that both sides of that equation are right. And that's why we have tons of Android phones that solve the problem for some people. And then we have, you know, plenty of people buying iPhones because they appreciate a different aesthetic. There's nothing wrong with either side.
Sounds great. Yeah. If there was one more question, or is this only in regards to the iPhone?
Fire away. We're talking Macs, too.
Oh, okay. As far as Macs. On my data plan, you know, when I get a message one time, you know, I was at a 2 gig data cap, you know, when they slow you down like that, I mean, with T-Mobile or something, or one company versus the other, you know, how can they do that where, you know, it's your data and everything? I mean, to the point where when they slow you down, you know, you're probably running at only 20% of the speed, and here they cut off 80% of the capacity. Yeah, you're still paying the full price, you know, like, is that truly, you know, cap-free and unlimited with one of these other companies versus the other? You know, do they not slow it down that same way? Because, you know, it's clearly, you know, at 80%, you know, cutoff point. I mean, it's so slow it wouldn't even load a web page. You know, you're barely able to.
Yeah, I think what you might be running into, there's some companies, and I think AT&T, if you're grandfathered into their unlimited plan, they do slow you down after you hit a certain point because they're trying to manage their network and they're trying to make sure it's fast for everybody, because if there's, say, you know, 10 people in a coffee shop and they're all on their phones, they're all using the same set of radio frequencies to get data. Whether that's fair or not is not really anything I get to decide, or I really don't know, because I don't know the vendors that well. My understanding, I think Sprint still has a truly unlimited plan, or at least that's what they advertise. I don't know if they start to throttle speeds after a certain point or not. But basically, what the providers are doing, they're saying, hey, we only have so many radio frequencies we can use, and we need to do our best to make sure everybody gets a decent crack at it. And if we have one guy or two guys that are just really using up 80% of it, we're trying to do things to manage that so that everybody has a good experience.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, now I actually heard one other, you know, this will be the last thing here, I appreciate it, but I actually heard that, you know, it's not very significant for one of these large carriers to, you know, let that data flow like that because of the new technologies that we've got. So, you know, is that the case in some ways? Are they just limiting it so that way we can pay more in other areas?
Yeah,
boy, you know, really hard to say. I suspect there is a little column A and little column B. I suspect there are some truths to what they're saying about network management, and I suspect they might be, you know, careful about how they word things because, of course, they're for-profit companies, and their motive is to make a profit. So it's hard for me to say. I don't know much about the inner workings of the actual providers.
Thanks for calling, David. Appreciate your call very much. And Brandon would like to know if iPhone 5 uses a quad or dual band LTE.
Sure. My understanding, and I'm not a radio frequency technician, but I do find this stuff kind of interesting. I believe it is a quad band. And the reason I say that is when the iPad came out.
Now, a quad or dual band, you want to explain what?
Yes. LTE, or the new 4G standard, can run over a number of different radio frequencies. So just like your car radio, you can tune to 88.7, you can tune to 107.9.
Sure.
All these different frequencies. Well, cell phones also use frequencies, and frequencies can get full. And some carriers use some frequencies while some use others. Now, when the iPad first came out and it said it was 4G, it was only 4G in certain areas. For example, in Australia, you could not get on a 4G network because in Australia, the providers there used a different frequency than what the radio chip in the iPad provided for.
Wow.
Now, everything I've read about the iPhone 5 says it works in many more markets, including Australia, but oddly not on some European carriers. So... Hmm. It does cover more frequencies, and I assume that's what he's getting to with quad band. But I don't know that it covers all of them. The short answer is LTE is kind of fragmented. It runs on a lot of different frequencies. Hopefully that's going to get standardized at some point, or we'll get better chips that can support more frequencies. But I believe the answer to his question is yes, I think it's a quad band.
John in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, John.
Hi there. Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. Conveniently enough, you guys were talking about Apple today. I had an interesting thing happen to my 4S this morning.
Okay.
And I guess my question stemming from what you guys are talking about, this iOS 6 update.
Mm-hmm.
This morning I was using an application that I have used not all the time, frequently. It's
sure.
An informational application. And I was using it this morning, and I got my information, and I closed it down, and I put my phone in my pocket, and took it out a little while longer, or later, and it was blank. The phone wouldn't turn on, wouldn't come on, and so I brought it back, plugged it in, nothing came in on to indicate that it was coming on. Then about a half an hour later, it just kind of randomly came on as I turned the power button on. I guess my question is that... Are certain applications? I guess this one I know updates. It kind of, every time you turn it on, it updates.
Sure.
It says updating. Is it the phone that it possibly is trying to catch up to this application and then it gave it a stroke of some sort? it came on. I'm not sure what happened. It's kind of troubling. I've only had this phone for about 4 months, and I love it. It's kind of one of those things now. I won't go back to the other. This is kind of my first smartphone that I've
sure.
had, but it's kind of makes me nervous a little bit. I've been turning it on every so often since then. But I'm just wondering if this update might remedy some of these applications that may already be kind of ahead of the game, so to speak.
Well, it's certainly possible if you ran into a bug that iOS 6 might fix that.
Uh-huh.
I have experienced exactly the scenario that you're explaining. For me, it was the fact that I let my battery get so far dead that it wouldn't turn on. And even when I plugged it in, I had to leave it plugged in for a while before I even got the charging symbol to come on.
Right. Yeah, this was fully charged. So that's what was
okay,
kind of
so that, that,
in my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of blows that one out of the water.
Yeah.
The only other thing I can think of is you may have just experienced a rare crash. We kind of forget that we're used to phones and
right.
they're they operate like phones. They're actually a tiny little computer.
Uh-huh.
And every so often they will crash. And every so often you have to either restart them or forcibly restart them. And it sounds like yours got stung, kind of hung up in this weird quasi state where it wasn't quite off, but wasn't
right.
quite on.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Twilight zone.
Yeah. And you probably have run into this, but if you press and hold that lock button on the top,
mm-hmm.
If the phone is operating in any kind of function at all, it will offer to turn the phone off.
Yeah. I was trying to do that also and it didn't work. But then it just, like I said, randomly it came back on. So
yeah.
I'm going to do this update and see
what happens.
Yeah, if that's something that happens to you regularly, I would take that iPhone into the Apple Store and tell them about it. There might be something going on with your hardware.
Yeah, this was fairly convenient. I was actually just on with AppleCare and turn on the NPR, and you guys were on. So I took the opportunity.
Good enough. Thanks, John.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. You can join in too with your questions at 1-800. 642-1234. Give us a call as we talk Macs with Joe Rhodes today, computer support specialist, independent, works out of Madison. Jerry in Waterford, hi.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call. The problem I have is that I'm trying to hook up a monitor to an old a display monitor to an mm-hmm. old iMac, and the output on that iMac is mini VGA with an RGB output.
Okay.
I've purchased a mini VGA connector. However, that does not fit into that slot, and I don't know if this CRGB output designation, which makes a difference, or what. Do you have any idea where I can get something like that?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. What kind of iMac is this?
This is a 5G iMac.
One of the white ones?
A white one, yeah.
Okay.
17-inch screen.
Sure, sure. The adapter that you got, was this an Apple adapter, or was this someone else's adapter?
Well, I talked to the Apple Genius, and mm-hmm. he had an adapter there, and which worked. However, I couldn't get it from him because they had to keep that for other people
sure,
that came
sure.
in. And I went online with him there, and we ordered one that we thought would do it. Because it was the mini VGA. However, when I finally got it through the mail,
but the one that you got wasn't an Apple branded adapter.
No,
because my first thought is I don't think Apple is making those anymore. I'm guessing the one that he had at the Apple store probably was, you know, one of the white Apple mini VGA adapters.
Right.
Your best bet, honestly, is try and find one of the Apple ones, maybe on eBay. I know they're floating around all over the place. I go to clients and they've got them, you know, parked in drawers, and they you know, got rid of their old Mac and they got a new one and they kept the adapter around, and so they have the, what I like to call the baffling vault of antiquity. 'Cause 5 years you're like, what is this? But they're around, and I think your best bet might be eBay, really. But I would probably stick to an Apple one 'cause you know that's going to work.
Well, how do I note that though? I did see, when I went on online to see if anybody else had this problem, there was somebody on there that said that they had a similar problem, and some of those connectors work and some of them don't. They're evidently, the mini GBA has more than one type of output connector to it, when the one that I got did not work.
You know, it's possible. Honestly, that is going back a point in my memory that's just not that good, as I just don't remember what those machines had and what the differences were, because Apple went through a number of different video connectors before they, seems like they finally settled on one now with their newer Macs. Not sure what to tell you other than I would, if you can find an Apple branded one, like I said, on eBay, not a third party, but an actual Apple branded one, and it should say that in the description. I think that's going to be your best bet. I really do.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And let's go to Greg next in La Crosse. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, hi. My question is, my daughter and I both have iPod Touches,
mm-hmm.
and we've never owned an Apple computer, and I'm wondering whether an iPad would essentially serve the same function as a laptop.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny you ask that. I have a very good friend of mine who actually did this as an experiment. He wanted to see if he could live off of his iPad. He does a lot of traveling, and so the size of this iPad is something that just was fantastic for him. And he got himself a wireless keyboard, and for a lot of functions, it worked great. He's a writer, so he was making documents. He had the Pages application on there, worked fantastic. He said the one thing that killed it as a regular computer replacement was it was too hard to do copy-paste. He had too much trouble because you still have to use your finger on the screen, and it's not quite as intuitive as using a mouse on a regular computer. So other limitations you might run into is the web browser doesn't have Flash support. So if you use websites and maybe your daughter, I don't know how old she is, but I know a lot of educational websites are Flash enabled.
Yeah, that is very, very disturbing not to have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and so there's there is a chunk of the web that you just won't get to use on an iPad because they don't support Flash. And fortunately, that's becoming less and less of the internet, but it's still an appreciable part of the internet.
Right.
So
okay.
I think it's a great supplement to a laptop. I'm not going to give up my MacBook Pro yet for an iPad.
okay.
Not quite there yet for me.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask a related question?
Sure, fire away.
We're both on the same account,
mm-hmm.
and we're not quite happy with that because we have totally different tastes in music. We don't want to be sharing our music back and forth and have to delete it all the other person's. Is there a way to deal with that?
Yeah. When you say you're on the same account, does that mean you sync to the same iTunes account? So you have like you have iTunes on your computer and you have your music there, and then you plug in your iPad or your iPod and that music syncs over to your iPod. Is that right?
Yes, okay.
Right. Very easy to do on your Mac or your PC, whichever computer you have this connected to.
We're not using any Apple computer. We're using
Okay. So you're doing this through iTunes. So there's no computer involved. This is just your iPod touches.
No, I'm sorry. We're using it's not an Apple computer. It's a different type of.
Oh, right. It's a Windows PC.
Yeah.
Yeah. The easiest thing to do is in Windows, create a second user.
Okay.
Log in as that user. And then when you fire up iTunes in that other user, you will have a blank library that you can then fill as you so desire. And then you can synchronize your iPad Touch to iPod Touch to that that copy of iTunes, and your daughter can synchronize it to her copy of iTunes because the accounts are separate in Windows, so they have separate iTunes databases, and therefore you can sync two different devices to them and make them look completely different.
Okay, is that going to work when we already have a whole bunch of apps that we both purchased? Are we going to be able to move those over?
That does get a little bit tricky. You can keep the apps. You can actually sign in with multiple different accounts on an iOS device, so you can have apps with one account and a separate account, but it does get a little tricky and probably more than I can explain right here. But if you Google around for it, you will find information about that.
There you go.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Greg, for calling. Joe Rhodes, our guest. Katie in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hey there.
My question is, we have cable TV and I'm paying an arm and a leg for it. And I don't really watch it that often. I use Netflix on our home computer.
Mm-hmm.
Projected onto our TV in our bedroom. Anyway, my question is, we have Mac products, like Mac computer and TV. If this is something that's worth it, if it's...
Apple TV, or did you say?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I thought I could stream in... I don't know.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Katie.
You're breaking up there,
yeah,
Katie.
Let me tackle this as best I can because, unfortunately, your phone is kind of cutting out on us.
She wants to know if Apple TV could replace a cable.
You know, it's getting really close to that. The Apple TV is a great little device, and for $100, it's not a big investment. And you can run Netflix on the Apple TV. They have a Netflix application. It'll also sync with your iTunes account. So if you have movies, videos, TV shows, etc., they can sync from your computer over to your Apple TV. If you have a newer Mac device, such as a newer iPad, a newer Mac, I think from mid-2011 or later, you can also do what they call AirPlay mirroring, which means I can put the stuff that's on my computer screen and wirelessly project it onto my television through the Apple TV. And it's really slick. I've seen actually a school has it set up so they can connect their iPad to it and show what's on the iPad on their big television in front of all the students. And that's really neat. So if you can get the bulk of your entertainment and you're happy with the entertainment you have on your laptop, Apple TV for $100 makes that really easy to project that onto your television without having to carry your laptop into your living room and plug it in all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and our computer is like a year old, and our iPads are less than a year old. We just got the new iPad 3, everything's pretty new.
An Apple TV would fit in with that ecosystem really slick.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Dan and Minong, quick question from you.
Hey there, Dan.
Hi there. I have an iPhone, and it's a 4, not a 4S.
All right.
And yesterday morning, I use personal network because I'm up here and I don't have anything except I have to use a personal network in order to have high Wi-Fi for my wife.
Sure.
iPad and my laptop. So I was using it. I then stopped using it for a while, left it on, as far as I know, and then I went to read a book that we have checked out of the library, and I went back to it, and Personal Network had disappeared, not just had gone off, but the application was gone from my iPhone.
How could that have happened? Well, you've got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, clock is ticking. I don't know if there's a separate app for that. Honestly, I haven't used that yet because it's an extra charge on your data plan. But I would go under the settings application of your iPhone and take a look. And I think it's under general where you can turn on the personal hotspot is what they call it. But it's going to be a little bit different depending upon exactly which iPhone you have. The other thing is check with your provider because if there's something wrong with your account, they may have turned it off, which would be unfortunate.
Oh, yes.
Could have been a mistake too.
Good luck, Dan. Thanks a lot for calling. And Joe, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Great
You'll
to be here.
You'll come back and be with us again?
Hope so.
Joe Rhodes will come back. He's an independent computer support specialist. He works out of Madison. Always great to have him along, and he will be back. Tomorrow, time for Garden Talk. Doug Soldat, our Madison turfgrass specialist, joins us from UW. Talk about lawns recovering from the drought. Stay with us.